Rubbish. Trash. Garbage. I brought my very own trash with me today. What is rubbish for you today? What is trash? What is garbage? Some people would say that to gather together and to sing and to worship Almighty God is trash. Some people would say that the book we've been reading for a long time, I still haven't figured it out yet. Some people would say that this is garbage. Some people would say that to gather in a space like this, worship Almighty God, is just a dying old tradition, and literally, it's just rubbish. Now, I know you all don't believe that, amen? For those of you who don't know me, my name is Keith Harcombe. I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor, and we're on our fourth week of our sermon series, Rubbish. And we've been talking about the kind of things that we sometimes experience that might be rubbish, trash, or garbage. The first week, we talked about how people aren't rubbish, amen? We talked about how our people around us aren't rubbish. We talked about how to have a decent prayer life is not trash. And we talked last week about how sometimes our circumstances can seem trash, but actually, even and amongst these things, even amongst hurricanes hitting our friends' houses on Sanibel Island, even amongst that, God can be glorified in and amongst it and in our hearts. So, yeah, I brought my own rubbish with me today, and really, rubbish and trash can be categorized into three different areas. Now, you've got, you know, kind of the trash that you're used to, the trash that you don't mind too much, and this one doesn't smell too bad. You know, this is the kind that, you know, you do yard cleanup. We've done a lot of that over the last couple of days because of the hurricanes coming through. Yard cleanup is not too bad. It's, you know, sticks and branches and smells kind of oaky, you know. It smells good. That's not too bad. That's like the first category of trash, if you like, and you can just leave that by the side of the road and the good people of Pinellas County will come and pick it up, right? So it's not so bad for that kind of trash. And then you have the next kind of trash, and this is the one that hopefully you all do. Hopefully you've all moved into the next millennium and you're all, you know, recycling your trash. This is the kind of stuff, you know, you clean it out. It's not too bad. Sometimes it smells if you don't clean it out properly, right? It's important that you clean out your trash properly and you know, tie that up and put it in the recycle section. Amen? How many recycle out there? Who doesn't recycle? Don't care. I'm just kidding. I don't want to. So we got this kind of trash. We got the yard waste. And then we've got the recycling trash, if you're all good citizens of Pinellas County. And then we have the last one. Some of you know what this is, right? This is the kind of stuff that you know, you're not really sure where it all goes, you know? The leftover stuff from in the kitchen, you know? The stuff that, you know, the kitchen waste. You know, when you smell in the kitchen waste, woo, yeah! That stinks. In fact, now you have these fancy bags that have, like, Febreze in them to make it smell better, you know? Yeah, that kind of stuff. We're not really sure about what we should do. That should we just bag it on up? And maybe you're one of the people that, you know, you don't really touch the trash in the kitchen. In my house, I have four children, and every one of them experiences the trash in the kitchen completely different. Yeah, my oldest, my daughter, she just like walks by it. She doesn't even like look at it or touch it. She doesn't really even go in the kitchen. Jack, my son, will just like my first son will just put the trash on the top kind of thing. It's filling up, you know? It's filling up and he just puts the trash on the top, you know? The other one, Max, he'll take it out if he's asked to do it and he'll take it out where it's meant to go. And then my last son, you know, you might be one of these people. Yeah. Push it down a bit more. Push it down a bit more to get all the trash in there. Now, you might realize I have a bit of an obsession with trash. You might realize that actually I like it when we keep our garbage to a minimum. There's people in my neighborhood, and when they're going on the morning walk, they got one of those grabbers, you know, and they grab it up and they just put it in there. I love those people. I stop and say thank you. Sometimes I have things that are big in my house, and I've got to take them to the dump. I've got to take them to the recycle center. I get really excited. I get everybody else on board to take them to the refuse center. We go to the refuse center, and they say, yeah, what have you got? You got household waste. Okay, put it in the dumpster over here. You got the other kind of waste from the yard. You put that in the yard area. And then there's another special category. We had something left over from our last trip, and Max and I, we said, okay, so where should we put this? And the guy in the vest, you know, says, okay, you're going to have to go to that area. And there's this massive center on Limebaugh, and this really big building. So you're going to have to drive in there and just throw it on the top. And we drove in, and there's like seagulls everywhere just hanging out waiting to get the bad stuff, you know. And we went in there, we spoke to the guy in the other yellow vest, and he says, yeah, just drive on in and throw it on the top. And we drove in, it was kind of slippy, you know. And we stopped the car, and Max was like, this is just stunk in there. And there's just trash piled high, and there was a guy driving a tractor back and forth, beep, 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 just pushing that trash up on the wall. And I got out, and I was like slipping everywhere, and I threw it on, to jump back in the car and run out of it as fast as I could. Trash. The management of trash, the management of rubbish and garbage is really important today. And we've been talking about this for a few weeks, and the question today is, what is rubbish? We're going to focus on what Paul thought was rubbish today, and as Caroline read to you, that very important passage, I consider everything rubbish. So we're going to go back, we're going to backtrack a little from the reading, we're going to go to Philippians 3, if you've got your Bible with you. Open it to Philippians. We're still there. If you're tracking with us, if you're new, open your Bible to Philippians 3. If you're online, just open up another tab there. Pull it up on your phone if you've got a Bible app. If you're reading the Bible there, that's a great place too. So we're in verse 2. We're in verse 2, and Paul, first thing we hear is Paul talking about the people that are in and around his converts. He says, watch out for those dogs. Watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil, those mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort. Though I could have confidence in my own effort, if anyone could. Indeed, if others have reasons for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. We're going to stop there. We're going to go back to that, what he says there. But the first thing he says is, watch out for them dogs. Watch out for the dogs. And we're not talking about dogs. What he's talking about is the people who are going around saying you must obey the law. These people were Jewish people who were talking to Paul's converts, the Gentiles, who were now following Christ and considered converts. And Paul is been working in and amongst these people's lives. And these Jewish people, born Hebrews, grew up in the Hebrew faith. Mother, father, grandmother, grandfather, great-grandfather brought them up in the Hebrew faith. And they're now going to the Gentiles and saying to them, you now must follow the law. You now must be circumcised like all good Hebrews. And Paul says these people are dogs. And what's kind of funny is if you grew up as a Hebrew, if you grew up in the Hebrew tradition, if you grew up a Jew, if you grew up in the tribe of Judah or the tribe of Benjamin or any of those tribes, then you always looked at the Gentiles as those who weren't following the law as dogs. You'd even mention them in your prayer. I'm glad, God, I am not like those dogs. And we're not talking about the cute little cuddly dogs that you and I have at home, you know, as pets. By the way, I have the cutest dog, just so you all know. Her name's Luna. Look at her on Facebook and all those kind of things. She's a golden doodle. But we're not talking about those kind of dogs. We're not talking about those dogs. We're in Philippi, when Paul was writing this to the church in Philippi, these dogs were the kind that roam around with no owners and nobody to take care of them in packs. And these dogs would roam around looking for something to eat and looking for something to devour. So the Jews called Gentiles dogs. And Paul, in a great linguistic way, just flips this around. No, you watch out for those dogs. They're the dogs because they are telling you to be followers of the law. And we don't need to do that anymore, he says. He says we don't need to be those kind. What kind of circumcision does Paul talk about? Well, Paul was obviously thinking about the Old Testament. He knew it well, of course. He was a Jew. He was a rabbi. And he knew what Jeremiah had said even way back as a prophet. He knew what real circumcision was about. And he would have had this in his head in Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 4, it says this: O people of Judah and Jerusalem, they're like creme de la creme, Judah. Judah is the tribe that Jesus was adopted into. People of Judah and Jerusalem, surrender your pride and power. Change your hearts before the heart. Before the Lord. In other versions, circumcise your hearts before the Lord, or my anger will burn like an unquenchable fire because of all your sins. Later on, Jeremiah says the same thing. He says the same thing in verse 26 of chapter 9. Paul would have known this. The Egyptians, Edomites, Ammonites, Moabites, the people who live in the desert in the remote places, and yes, even people of Judah. Even people of Judah, and like all these pagan nations, the people of Israel also have uncircumcised hearts. Paul is saying to the Gentiles and to those who are following Jesus, no, what's really important is that you have an inclination, you have a circumcision of the heart and mind. You have a place where you think, actually to follow Jesus, actually to be somebody who follows the Lord is really important. It's a circumcision of the heart. So he flips the word dogs. He flips the word circumcised, meaning circumcised of the heart. And he says, my confidence, though, should not be in my own effort. And he's referring to the Jews having their own confidence in their own effort. He says, my confidence is not in my effort. I mean, I could have this. I could have the same kind of inclination. I could have the same attitude. Because I've got some qualifications, he says. I've got some accolades. I've got some achievements. I've had some advancements in my life that I could be proud of. And here they are. Verse 5. I was circumcised when I was 8 years old. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew, if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. Now, if you count those things, there's seven. Seven is the number that's completeness in the Hebrew thought. Paul says, if there's any confidence in the flesh, that means any confidence in what I can achieve. If there's any confidence in righteousness, in trying to attain a right relationship with God, I have it. And he lists out these seven things. First off, I was circumcised when I was 8 years old. That's the same day that Jesus was circumcised, 8 days after being born. After 7 days have gone by, complete, the eighth day was set aside for the Hebrew boy. If anybody has any confidence, I do. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel. I was raised a Hebrew. My mother was a Hebrew. My father was a Hebrew. My grandmother, my great-grandfather. All the way back, I was born a Hebrew. I was a member of the Pharisees. I was born of the tribe of Benjamin. Judah and Benjamin were those who were the best tribes. And Judah was the one that Jesus was in, and Benjamin was the other one. And Saul came from this tribe. And also, I was in that committee, that great big committee, the best one, the ones of the Pharisees. So if we set the law, I was in that. I was able to do that, he says. I had the strictest commandment, obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous, I harshly persecuted the church. That's the church of Jesus Christ. That's the ecclesia, the one that you're sitting in and are a part of. He says, I persecuted them and I did what I was told. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. He's going through the things the accolades he has. Check. 7, all the way down. These accolades that he has, that if any of them said that he could be the one who was righteous, it was Paul. For a modern day translation, you might say that I was born in the United States of America. I am an all-American student. I went through high school as an all-American student. I went to college and I graduated with straight A's. The significance of achievement. I went to college on a scholarship, where I spoke at the commencement ceremony because I graduated valedictorian. I went to a prestigious school in Florida and got in with all the accolades. I don't know, maybe Florida State University. You guys are easy. After college, I went to my master's program in another prestigious school where I graduated with summa cum laude. And then after graduating there, I went and got a PhD in some sort of profession that you don't even understand. But now I work at a Fortune 500 company and I am rolling in it. Don't get me wrong. Achievements, accolades, and advancements are not to be shunned upon. They're not to be looked down upon. Each of you have gifts and graces that God has given you. You should use them to glorify God. Amen? Each of you have gone on different paths. Each of you have achieved things that you're proud of. Some of you have accolades and a picture in your office, it says, I graduated this college, and those things are all good. Paul says, but I've got all the accolades that they're looking for. I've got everything that they think is good. I've got all the achievements. I've got all the advancements. Verse 7, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness or right relationship with God through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with him himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. I once thought these things were valuable, he says. I once thought these things were good. But now, compared to Christ, I consider them what? Rubbish. Yeah, the New Living Translation says garbage. The NIV says trash. other versions say different words. Of course, the real word for that is the English word rubbish, right? No, it's not. I'm just kidding. The real word there, the real word for that word in chapter 3, verse 8, is the Greek word skybalon, which is kind of fun to say. Skybalon. And it means refuge, mere garbage, or dung. Dog dung. That's what it means. So actually, rubbish and garbage is kind of a kind way to translate this. Paul says, I consider all of my achievements, I consider all of my accolades, I consider all of my advancements, and they're good things, I consider all of them to be dung in comparison to what? Into my relationship with Christ Jesus. See, Paul now knew Christ Jesus in a biblical relationship. That means he knew him as his Savior and Lord. And he's saying to these people, to the people that he's talking to, like, this is far better than anything that I've ever achieved in my life. This is far better than any picture on a wall. This is far better than any kind of school that I went to. This is even far better than being a Hebrew of Hebrews and coming from the tribe of Benjamin. He says, now I encounter Jesus in a brand new way. And I consider all of my achievements and all of my accolades and all of my advancements as rubbish. What is rubbish for you? I hope over these last 4 weeks you've been considering the kind of things that have been trash in your life, especially in comparison to your relationship with Christ. What are some of the things that you have been relying upon, thinking will sustain your life, thinking that will help you on through your adulthood and beyond? What are some of the accolades you received that this is the kind of thing, this is going to help me through, this is the kind of thing, like this bit of paper, because I've got this piece of paper, it's going to help me in life and going to help me experience the love of God more and more. I mean, think about that, what we do. What is it for you that you could now think of in comparison to your relationship with Christ as rubbish? As trash, as garbage. Paul quite clearly lays out the kind of thing that we should be looking toward for a relationship with Christ, or the comparison. He says, his sake I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, that I could gain Christ and become one with him. And God's way of making us right is through faith in him, he says. That means his identity is in Christ. His identity is not in the country he was born in. It's not in the kind of people that helped him look better. His identity is not even in the tribe of Benjamin. It's not in the kind of church he goes to. It's not in the school that he does the right actions to. It's not in the piece of paper that comes from the school. He says, in comparison to all these things, I consider it trash. Garbage. Remember, having achievements and having accolades and having advancements is a good thing. But if these are the only things that are guaranteeing ourselves a great life, if these are the only things that are helping us get through our life, then it falls on sandy land. Jesus tells a story of a parable of a man who builds his house on a rock and a man who builds his house on the sand. And when the floods came, it's a parable. When the floods came, the house falls down, but the one on the rock stands. Paul is saying that I want you to build your life and your faith on the strong ground of Jesus Christ. He's saying, I don't want you to build your foundation on the fact that you were born in America. I don't want you to build on your foundation that you have you're a fourth generation in some particular kind of last name that grew up in this country or state. I want your foundation to be on a particular school that you went to. I want your foundation to be on Jesus Christ, amen? He says, this is far greater. This is far better than any accolades I have ever achieved. Some of this stuff stinks. Some of this trash stinks. Especially this one. What is stinking for you? What is it that you could possibly not do with? Some of this stuff we carry around is not life-giving. Some of it's not encouraging. Some of it's not good for our relationship and fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Some of it just doesn't give us comfort. What is that for you? I want you to know a relationship with Jesus Christ is far greater, far more surpassing than any accolades, achievements, any kind of advancement that we could get in our life. You see, rubbish is anything that claims to be better than our relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's pray together. Gracious and Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your servant Paul, who showed us through his life, through his words, and through his letter, how we are to lift up you above all of our achievements, above all of our accolades, above all of our advancements. And to know, Lord, the power of that relationship is far greater. We ask, Lord, you would help us to see that today as we handle our rubbish. We ask, Lord, that you would show us where that is. Help us, Lord, to leave here knowing that that relationship is so much better than anything else. We ask this all in your precious and powerful name. And everybody said, amen.